with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Singing it to him now.
Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen and amen. Just make me a sanctuary, Lord. Is that your desire? If you'd like to turn back where we were reading this morning, turn to Matthew 24 and Matthew 7. We'll try to continue our thought along. Now remember, we're not going to have a speaker designated for the Watch Night service this year. We're going to have a testimonial. You can sing a song. You can, say a few words. Say what's on your heart, what the Lord's been for you and helped you and guided you and everything. And all of that, we're going to just do that and let it be a testimony meeting night. And you can sing a song, read a scripture, whatever you want to do. We want everybody, men, women, boys, and girls, small or whatever. If you're big enough to be able to say and do, then we want you to get up and sing a song or something and, for the glory of the Lord, like we done back a few years ago, when we had one. So that will be on the watch night on the December the 31st. So remember that and just be much in prayer that the Lord would bless. Also remember, next week now we will have, between the services, there's going to be a time that I thought about it, to where we're going to take the girls on the first Sunday and, first time, and we'll have just a meeting together. We'll sit down and discuss life and things about, what's expected of you as a girl or a young lady or whatever, and all. And this is basically, this is for unmarried young people from about, say, 14 years up, going on up to where we can discuss things. And the next Sunday between the services, we'll take the boys and we'll talk to them and try to, express some things to you about life and things, because maybe it's needful, maybe sometimes in preaching and everything else, we don't cover everything. So write down your little questions or whatever you want and everything, of thinking of why this and why that, and we'll just talk about it. We'll meet in the back room downstairs, and my wife will be with me when the girls are there, and we'll just sit down and discuss, a little bit about life and things of being young people and everything. So be much in prayer for that. So just remember it, the Lord willing. Also remember, the Lord willing, on the 15th, which will not be this coming Wednesday, but the next one, Brother Jewel Forney will be with us preaching for that service. We'll just pray one for another. Matthew 24 and Matthew 7. Any more announcements? I always forget something and wind up and don't remember it. So just whatever. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the hour that we're living. Thank you for the word that you've given us. Thank you for the truth, because you said you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. We don't want to be just part free, Lord. We want to be totally free in you. And we love you and we thank you for all things. And we pray now that you would just bless Brother Wade there as he's away speaking, Lord. Be with him and be with him on the traveling home, and just have your way here in the service today, and let your love be made manifest to each and every one. We thank you. And we ask you to just come now as we read your word. You come and speak to our hearts, because that's our desire. Our desire is for you to dwell in us and lead us in understanding. Guide us now and keep us from saying anything that would not be right according to thy word. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 24. We started Let's just start with verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, and, remember how I said that? Now it's not false Christ and, like more different, false Christ and, or the word even, see, false Christ, even shall they show signs. See, you know, you can translate the word even into that. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say to you, Behold, he is in Jeffersonville. I mean, excuse me. I didn't mean that against Jeffersonville. I was using it. Or Arizona, or Lula, or whatever. See, I just meant it for us to get a point. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. Now you can go on reading how that it's going to come with the lightning from east to the west, which will be the message of the hour. You know. So now let's go over to Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which shall come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now remember, you know them by their fruits, but just remember, a wolf in sheep's clothing looks just like a sheep, right? A wolf in sheep's clothing looks exactly like a sheep, all right? But the only way you know them by their fruits is what they produce. Now, wolves in sheep's clothing is not going to produce sheep, right? So you could catch it by their offspring, you know? In other words, the fruits that come forth, all right? You shall know them by the fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree shall bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now that's from the seed outwardly, all the way. See, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Have you noticed the small trend, the small L's? Even though one is a little more than the other, but still it's still that lowercase. See? Because they don't know who he is. See? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we spent this morning trying to speak basically on, anointed ones. And then we'll try to get down this afternoon on the part. So I just changed the title enough to where it wouldn't be so much. But it's message number 5 of faith. And we're going to talk about anointed ones, but just put down living by the 5 senses. And that way you can, you know, kind of separate the message from what we've been talking about. And I hope everybody understands the point that I was making this morning. I'll try to review a little bit, but I don't want to spend that much time on it because I want to continue the thought. But see, we talk about anointed ones. And I've always believed, since the Lord showed it to me, I believe he showed it to me because it compares with the rest of the scripture and what the prophet has said. And I believe that when you say anointed ones, that's why the prophet, see, we call it false anointed ones, you know, like that. That's not actually the title of the message. See, it's anointed ones at the end time. See, we want to say false anointed. But see, the anointing is not false. The anointing is genuine, the prophet said. It is the person that's false. You say, well then, would God anoint a person that's false? Yes. He's done it all the way through. He's done it down through time. He's done it all the way through the Bible. You had Moses going forth with a message written in the Bible. But you had Balaam to go forth also, and some of the things that he, you know, what he prophesied is in the Bible. Right? So then he was actually used in some of the writing of the Bible, but yet he himself was false. Right? And see, then to understand the anointed ones, we can understand ourselves and what we do and everything and how we live. And remember what I've tried to bring out about mental faith? Mental faith has to have something to stand upon. Something in the past or something you've seen, something has happened, something's went on, something took place, and you got a confidence in that part of it, and it produces a mental faith within you. But spiritual faith is based upon believing what God says without any signs, without any thing to take place, but to believe Him. Then signs will follow those that believe. Because we don't believe in a dead system. You know, the prophet said anything that's not emotional is dead. And it needs to be buried, he said. Well, so then we believe in emotional things, you know. I believe in the moving of the Spirit of God, the things, the feelings, the wonderful things of God. I believe in them. But I don't have that to believe what God says. And a time comes when they put a gun to your head, it's going to be hard to shout about that time. See, because you're not going to be thinking about that emotional realm of your shoutings, you're doing this or the other, you know. You're not going to be considered in doing that. So then just keep it in mind what we're trying to bring. Because, see, anointed ones, I keep repeating for the sakes of others a lot of times, you know. As Brother Reed said, Brother Dale, there's a lot of people that are actually listening to what you're saying, so just make sure you put it down there simple enough they can understand. Well, that's what I try to do and repeat a lot. And I'm sorry, maybe to some of you that, you know, that know a whole lot and I have to keep repeating simple things, but yet I want it to be to where we can have an understanding, right, into it. And see, I gave you the little drawing of the body, spirit, and soul, you know, of the three realms the prophet said. In your body you have five senses, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. You contact the world and things out here with it. You display what you're doing with your body. You know, you display the love you have with your body. It's a display of it, and it works through it because we're a unit. You can't cut us down and, you know, this is so much this, and this is so much this, and this is so much this, you know. See, just because you make circles, that doesn't mean that point, see, that you're trying to make a line that goes so far, and that's body, and so far, and that's spirit, and so far, and that's soul. See, that's not the point. You're trying to get a revelation about the individual person and who you are. And see, then you see, taste, feel, smell, and hear is out here in your body senses part. But in your spirit, you have your memory, reason, conscience, affections, and things. And you do that, and you can love God with your spirit and still be lost. Because that's just part of the makeup of the human being. But it's the soul that's born again. And the born again experience in the soul requires that you hear the word, hold the word, and then let the spirit come down upon your senses. See? Coming into you. And as it does, it will make alive the words that you have in your heart. But if you don't have any true word, God can't make alive a Trinity because it doesn't exist. See? It's the true word that He'll make alive to. And that's why there's so many, or like the prophet said, not so many new births. Why? Because the people have not heard the word. They're based upon, well, if you do this, you shout it. If you do this, you cry it. If you're good, if you give money, if you come to church, you pay your tithe, you do this, you do that. And like Brother Stephen Wilson was talking about the other day, there in the book of Acts, when they asked him, said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Well, what's your answer to people that say, what must we do to be saved? Go to church, pay your tithe, be a good person. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. When they were asked the question, they didn't give them a book of rules. Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Repent, everyone, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to tell people what not to do. But that's not what it is. It's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Then the things can take place to manifest itself. And that's what it makes. But see, if you take that rim and you say, well, here's this rim, and so we know that, see, this is what most people think. We think then the Holy Ghost comes in here, that anointing is in my soul. On anointed ones, it just comes to their spirit. No, it comes to your spirit. You that are born again, the anointing came to your spirit. Right? But it quickened the words you had in your heart. That's the new birth. But if you didn't have anything in your heart, it couldn't quicken it. All right? See, then that way we can understand the human being and why that it works. But now this is the main thought. If I don't get it to you, I'll get it to you now. Anointed ones would then will deal. Now we're talking about anointed ones that are not genuine born-again Christians. But then you'll see what makes us work. I got this in here somewhere to see what makes us all work, what makes the whole thing. See, those that are just anointed with the Spirit of God upon their spirit and not born again, they will automatically lean to the senses. That's the realm they live in. They can't live in the soul because the soul is contrary to God. So they'll have that battle constantly. See, all the time a battle in there, because even though you're unregenerated, you still have what's called a conscience. And a conscience, summing it up in the best words you could say, is a moral obligation. Because you go around the world to people that know nothing about Christianity, and you see them with a conscience, which is an obligation to do good. You know, right? And they can be real good people like that, real sincere people. I don't go out in the world and look around and say, oh, there's a bunch of serpents. See, I wish y'all get out here and leave me alone. No, they're all people just like me and you. The only difference between you and an unregenerated person is the regeneration. It's whether or not you're born again. Yes, but I was born with this. Well, go ahead. Shout yourself right on into the tribulation. But when it's all over with, you won't have no excuse, you that hear the message as we try our best to teach it. There won't be any excuse about it then. Because at least you'll know that Brother Dale did try to tell you the truth. I believe in all of the shouting emotions and everything else. I believe in all of the gifts. I've had a lot of people tell me, we don't need the tongues and interpretation. I said, you're wrong, because the Bible gives 9 spiritual gifts, and we need 9 spiritual gifts. We don't need 8 spiritual gifts. We need all 9 spiritual gifts. We just don't lay our emphasis upon the tongues and interpretation. You know, because that goes into emotionalism sometimes. All right. But we lay our emphasis upon the Word. All right, we've become what do people call a dead word church. Well, I never did know. Now, I'm as honest as I can say, I've never seen a dead word church. Now, you show me a church based on the Word and tell me they're dead. Where's it at? Where's it at in the Bible? Where's it at anywhere? A church that's based on the Word and tell them they're dead. No, it's because people don't believe the way you believe. So they got to make some excuse to tell others, you know, oh, that's just a bunch of deadheads. You remember up to Tabernacle one time, Brother Random got on to them because they were calling one of those, either Jackson or Ruddler. One of them said, I believe it was Jackson, calling them people, said, don't go up there with them deadheads. He said, don't you call them that. He got on to them about calling and making light of the people. He said, that's the way they believe. Or maybe they was too emotional. Something was happening, you know, he told them to get away from that. See, it's not right. Let's see, now let's go on with what I'm talking about. See? The prophet, the last one we read in the quotations about the anointed ones, the prophet made an outstanding statement, and I just want to refer to that just a minute, and then we'll go on. See? It's works, it's faith expressed. It's number 5 on your notes. It's 65:11-26. And he said an outstanding thing. Now notice that it's got to be 5. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, outside, spirit, J-E-S-U-S, on the inside, Y-O-U. See? So it's faith, Jesus, you. All right. See, that's how standing here looking at you, I don't know a one of you. The Spirit can anoint me, still I don't know none of you. See, everybody thinks that's what causes the anointing. You know, I mean, they think that's what causes his discernments and things. Now, you read what he's saying. Still, I don't know none of you. But when that inside of the inside breaks in, that's God. All right, I won't get to it today, but we will get to it more this coming Wednesday, the Lord willing, when we begin to talk about faith. In faith, like that faith, you can have faith, you can see great things take place, and not have a bit of revelation of the Word of God. We're just so spiritually minded until when we read something of the prophet, we say, oh, faith is a revelation, faith is a revelation, faith is a revelation. We're nothing but a parakeet to quote what the prophet is saying, to not have understanding about it. All right? See, you can have faith and see the mountains moving and have not love. What are you? Now, that's what the Bible says about it. So we'll deal more with that. But I want to hold this point now of what we're talking about. Because watch what he said. He said, the Spirit can anoint me, still I don't know none of it. But when that inside breaks in, that's God. All right? Now, he's explaining the things of man. All right. The control tower, the inside, the soul controls the spirit controls the body. So he's explaining the triune person that we are. Body, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Spirit, reason, memory, conscience, affections, love. And soul, whether it's either faith or doubt. It's not the two in there together. When you're born again, it's faith. See? So God. When you're not born again, you're of the devil. See? And that's where all of these messages went haywire in the people. But now, let's go a little further in this anointed ones, and you'll catch the point of what I'm dealing with. This is the point now. This is the point that I'm trying to make. Anointed ones deal with the realm of the five senses. All right? Now, we as Christians, born again, truly born again children of God, we deal also in the senses realm. We just don't let the senses rule. The anointed ones that are not born again, see, which is the majority of the religious world, they will deal only with the senses, and they don't care what the inside, how it works. To tell you an illustration, John Martin was telling me one time about it. They were in the old tent ministries and everything. You've heard me probably tell it before, but back in that time, they were using a loudspeaker system, you know, microphones and things, and all out in the tent, and they found out that you didn't touch the microphone and touch the ground because they had a shortage in the microphone. Well, if you touched them both, touched the ground, as long as you stayed away, there's no problem. But if you touch that and touch the ground, you know, it automatically went right through you and you would become, you know, electricity would be running through your body. And so this man, their friend of theirs, he had a tent ministry and he wanted to bar it when he found it out. Well, they barred their system, and they went over, he said, one night. Brother John said they went to see him, and that man called him up in the prayer line. Had a big prayer line set in the tent ministry there, you know, and he told him, said, now, when I pray for you tonight, said, you're going to feel electricity just run through your body. Well, they would come up, and he'd reach out to lay his hand on them. They were grounded to the ground. He'd just reach over, pray, and touch his chin up on the microphone. That shot the electricity straight into the man, see. And had them just rolling all over the place, you know. Like in the spirit. Brother John said, he told us, said, man, God will kill you for that. He said, God don't care. This so long as it works, you know. But that's what people deal with. Anything they can deal with, blood on the hand, oil on the forehead, some kind of something that's, you know, can be seen, or some works that can be felt, is what people deal with. They don't deal with the born-again experience and then allow the Spirit of God to glory, have a wonderful time within you, to shout, to speak in tongues, to cry, to do everything. I was sitting the other day thinking about something. I just broke into crying, just, you know, because it's just something there that, you know, that's, I always get in trouble trying to explain things, but, you know, I tried my best to do it, but, you know, and I don't mean this wrong, and you, anybody hears it, I'm not talking about anybody, I'm talking about this us. I always say at a funeral, what's the one thing you always hear me say at a funeral? We live by memory. You know, how many of you noticed that? I always use that in a funeral service. We live by memories. Memories are wonderful things. You know. I mean, and I know, and I'm not, see, I'm not throwing off on nobody, so heaven help me. I might not order to mention it, but I'm trying to get you to see the senses part of what we're working on. A lot of people, they don't like to go down to the gravesite. My niece or something, her, I guess it's a niece or great niece or something, her boy got killed on a motorcycle. Well, she'd go every day and sit down by the grave and talk to him. Well, you say, oh, she's crazy. Well, it's all right. But I'm like this. I loved my mother. I cherished my mother. You know, I loved her. She raised me. Well, I go to the grave. You know what I go to that grave thinking about? I'm not going to that grave thinking my mama's dead. I'm not doing it. I know I'm crazy. I know it's weird. I agree with you. But if my wife or the children passed away, one of them, or grandchildren or something, I could walk up to the grave and stand there. But my memory is running about the things of while we were alive. If I cried, it would not be in sorrow. You see, everybody go to the grave and just weep and things like that. Now, I'm going to say it so you can go ahead and get offended at me. 90% of the people that go to a gravesite and weep is people that done the person wrong while they were alive. I guess I better quit there, hadn't I? Because you know what I'm talking about. I've been to funerals and I just stand there, don't say it. I bite my tongue because people come, oh, I just love Mama was the greatest Mama. Brother Dale, you just wouldn't. And I knowed that they hated Mama. That they done Mama wrong. Stole from them. Done something, you know. I knowed it. Let me stand up and don't say nothing. Because at least I'm not that away. I ain't going to be no hypocrite about it. But see, I live off of memory. That's part of our reasoning. Memory, conscience. See? Live off of memory about someone that's passed on. And then you can just stand in life. You know. I mean, you can say, Richard, I'll tell this about him, get him and Aaron in trouble, especially if Janine hears this and lets her daddy and him hear it, or especially his mama. I won't say what she said, I'll just say the statement. But anyhow, she had them all lined up one day, and she was chewing them out. And she let out this, and she didn't say the word, she spelt it. You know, but every one of them was old enough to know what she spelt. When it was over with, they were all outside dying laughing about Mama spelling the word, you know, because she wouldn't say it. But see, how you can laugh about that? Lisa's grandmother, we ain't never figured out what her name was. It's Margie, we know that. But y'all, everybody called her granny, grandmother, you know. No, we was laughing last night with Matthew about it. Nanny Chambers is all they called her. But she said, I'll slap you so hard I've knocked both your eyeballs in the same socket. Well, I just laugh about that. You know, but she's gone. But see, that ain't gone. That's still a part of me, you know, till I can just die life in it at things, you know. and tell it that. You live off your memory. That's your memory reading and and you do that in the Christian realm. It's wonderful to think about the things that God has done for you and what has happened in your life and your emotional systems work, and you cry about it, and you see what He's done, the many things that has taken place. That's in your emotional makeup. And that's all well and good. We have a good time out of it. But yet the deep inside part of you, see, the inside part is the soul where you live. That's what you really are. That's why we're Word-born children, see. Because the new birth is the birth of the Word. And see, then in that, you'll lean to that all the time. See, now watch what I'm saying. The point is, anointed ones that are not born-again Christian will automatically lean to the senses. Where else can they lean? What else can they depend upon? That's why now, the prophet will say, they make us ashamed of ourselves sometimes. And you look around to the religious world out there. There's people in that religious system that would never miss a service. Never whatsoever do the things that maybe you and I do. Because they're living in the spirit realm. See, their Christianity is in the realm of their feelings. You know. And if they don't cry, they don't know that the Spirit of God is there. But a true born-again Christian lives in the inner man that sometimes doesn't get out too much, you know. But yet still we live in the senses too. And we have a wonderful time in memory reading. The Bible says, come let us reason together. He told Joshua. Said, see, God told, as I was with Moses. Well, see, Joshua could stand and say, I was with Moses. I lived there with him. I was with him all of his life. It's about, I can remember what God done. He's promising me. See, we can live off of that. That's why I tried to express it to you, and everybody, but everybody misunderstands. It's like, Brother Dale, you're not emotional. You're not, you're wrong. I believe in all of that. It's just the Word first. Because Joshua was saying, yeah, I remember when he was with him with this, and he was with him with that. But the most of all, I remember when he spoke to him. And he come back and he told us what God had said. A lot of difference in the two, isn't it? Now let's go on down a little. All right, number six. Leadership, 1965-1207. False prophets. Oh, you say, Brother Brown, false prophets. The Bible said, in the last days there'd be false prophets. Jesus said, there shall rise false Christs, not false Jesuses. Now nobody stands still for that. In other words, nobody wouldn't take it, you know, false Jesus. Is this guy's Jesus? No, he's not Jesus, but you say he's Christ. He's anointed. You don't say, well, that man over there is Christ. That ain't the way you speak. You say that person's anointed. You know, anointed. My brother, Methodist preacher. I ain't kidding you. I'm not throwing no stones or whatever he is. Got a great big rack of Playboy magazines, and that's what they give him for Christmas. Methodist preacher. But yet he can out-preach 90% of the preachers in this message. And I don't back up one step. And I'm talking about bringing you the Word and put it into the Bible. But yet, look what he is. Because, see, that's what he's working on. All right. But nobody stands still for you to say that's Jesus. No. But false Christ. Christ means the anointed ones. Falsely anointed. They are anointed, but they are false at the bottom of it and do great signs and wonders, speaking in tongues, dancing in the Spirit, preach the gospel. Judas Iscariot did it. And watch him. He said Simeon. But now he'll pull it back and say, oh, no, I beg. Caiaphas prophesied. Balaam the hypocrite. See, look at him. Judas, Caiaphas, Balaam. Here. Done all signs, everything in the religious moves. Now, those people could do that because that you are anointed by the Spirit of Almighty God upon your spirit. That's the reason an anointed one will work. It's because it's poured out on you. Now, why would God pour out His Spirit upon all people? Why would He not just pour it out upon His children? Don't you ever think like that? Why would He not pour it out just upon His children? But He does it to try you. Let's see, I'll try to remember it. It's God of this evil age. I believe it's right. Brother Brown said that God would prove in the end time by the bride of Jesus Christ that she wouldn't fall like Eve fell in the beginning. I believe that's pretty close to it. But see, it's to try you. To see whether or not you will stay with the Word. It's not to try you to see if you'll stay with the Spirit movement. Because if we did, we would just leave today and go. Right? And we'd find us a shouting glory, hallelujah, Pentecostal church. It's not to try you to see if you'll stay with this Spirit movement. It's to try you to see if you will stay with the Word. Well, God wants to try us, yeah. He tried Moses to see if he had the right man before he got down to the River Jordan. That's what your prophet said. Is it because he didn't want to get down to I believe it's Jordan. He didn't want to get down to when it's crossing over, or the Red Sea, one of the two. He said he didn't want to get there and find out he had the wrong man. That's what your prophet said about it. So now take what he says and get it in your mind. God wants to try us by it, because we'll get to it in a minute, to the life of that scripture. That it would deceive the elect if it was possible. But, oh, now, Brother Dale, I've got these quotes where Brother Brown said, boy, this parakeet to death. Well, all right, get the last ones I gave out today. Let's just read the last one I gave out today. We'll just read this because it's total reverse to what I was wanting to use, but watch it. What shall I do with Jesus? Preached in 1963, 11:24 in the morning. It's on the notes we gave out today. He talks about united denominational Protestantism. Fulfills exactly what the Scripture said of Revelation 17. All whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life belong to her, one or the other. You're either beast or the image of the beast. You're one of those two, beast or image of the beast. Now, the other is a true bride, all right? The Bible said so. And Jesus spoke of this, not as communism, but in Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning with the first verse to the 26th verse, scriptures we read. He predicted that in the spirit, in this system would be so much like the real thing till it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. Now, I know the quotes, it's not possible to deceive, but watch this quote now. See, the elect whose names are put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And frankly, listen now, it got them so tied up until he said if he didn't cut the work short for their sake, there'd be no flesh saved upon the earth. Now that's how close your prophet said it'll come. I can't be deceived. You already are. It's just a razor edge. Look at the next one. Trying to do God's service without His will. 1965, 11:27, with a B on it. Watch how close it gets to that razor edge now between right and wrong. And remember, it'll fall on one side or the other sides. And it comes down sometimes like a honed razor between the difference of right and wrong. It's got to be every word of God. Not just almost every word, but every word. And it's got down today, not to Lutherans, not to Methodists, not to Pentecostals, but to that honed age, in this age, where just the Antichrist anointing is so perfectly, it would deceive the very elected. They'll fall on the wrong side if they don't watch it. Like a wedge. Watch, be careful. We're not living in Pentecostal age, we're past that age. Just the same, we're past through Lutheran, Wesleyan thing. But what did he say? Fall on the wrong side. Now, so I'm going to make a statement I made many, many years ago. And I still believe it. I believe most of the people in this message are going to die and go by the grave. I believe there'd only be a small group be standing there to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. That's not de-Christianizing nobody, not throwing off on nobody. I'm putting them in the right category. But it's because of what we are ourselves. We've got a choice to be able to go to the change, or we can go by the grave. If we fall off on the razor edge, the wrong side, we go by the grave. That's nothing. That don't mean you're lost. I didn't say that. You're truly born again. You can't be born again and then lost. But you can go by the grave and not be there for the change. Why? Because it's going to take a word-born bride to be standing there to be changed. I may not have it, but let me holler and scream to try to get you to see it. You said, but I can't be deceived, Brother Dale. I got all these quotes. Quote that one, where the prophet said, frankly, they would get so messed up until he'd have to cut the work short. That's what I say about these brothers coming along with all these messages. Oh, I got 200 or 300 quotes. Amen. What about this one? Come and let's see where they fit. Right. Listen to what the prophet said it took place. All right. Look at number 7 on your notes, which is page 380 of the Church Age book. And listen to him. Thus, at this very moment, we are in the complete fulfillment of Matthew 24:24, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. And who is it that shall attempt to deceive the very elect? Why? Who is it now? Why? The spirit of Antichrist and the false anointed ones of this last day. These false ones have already come in Jesus' name, claiming that they have been anointed of God for the last days. In other words, plainly put it in our day, I was ordained by the prophet. The prophet ordained me in the ministry. I know where I'm going to see. That's me putting it in there, all right? Claiming that they have been anointed of God for the last days. They are the false messiahs, anointed ones. They claim that they are prophets. But are they one with the word? Never. They have added to it or taken from it. No one denies that the Spirit of God manifesting in gifts is upon them, but like Balaam, they all have their programs, make their appeal for money, exercise gifts, but deny the Word or bypass it. Listen. Bypass it for that a controversy might diminish their chances of greater gain, yet they preach salvation and deliverance through the power of God. Just like Judas, with a ministry imparted by Christ. But because they are wrong seeds, so consequently, they have a wrong spirit motivating them, religious. Oh my, they outshine the elect in effort and zeal. But it is Laodicea, not of Christ. For it looks for big crowds, big programs, and startling signs amongst them. They preach the second coming of Jesus Christ, but deny the advent of the prophet messenger. Though in power and signs and true revelation, he eclipses them all. Ah, they say, this false spirit that in the last days is so close to the real can be distinguished only by its deviation from the Word. That's the only way you'll know it is by its deviation from the Word. You won't know it by signs and your feelings and things. It's only by the getting off of the Word. And whenever it is caught in being anti-word, now listen, what do they do when they're caught being anti-word? Well, I'm wrong. No, they don't say they're wrong. What happens? It falls back on one argument that we have already shown to be false. What is that argument? We get results, don't we? We have to be of God. Look at the people of the message. Well, look at Brother Soy. He's got a great following. Signs and wonders are happening. Sick are healed. Dead raised. But where are we at? Brother Branham on enticing spirits, I gave it to you, which is 1955. He said they have adopted emotionalism for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They got a lot of noise. There's nothing to it. He said, they've adopted that. Now watch. Let's just read this next one, because this is 99 and 101 is the same thing from Things That Are to Be, 1965, 1205. She said, one woman said, well, you said the truth. You can't buy it. But they still sell goods and have sewing machines. Now, you know what he's talking about on that, dresses and that. See, so there's no excuse at all. See, it goes to show, sister, I'm your brother and I'm a servant of Christ that's got to answer at the judgment bar for what I say here tonight. See, you're going to stand guilty of adultery because the love of God has leaked out of your heart. You still go to church. You might dance in the spirit and you might speak with tongues. And them things are fine, but that's not it yet, no sir. Remember, the Bible said in the last days there shall be false Christ, not false Jesuses. They wouldn't stand still for that, but false Christ. False anointed ones, they're absolutely anointed with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, and still false, see. Now there's three people of you. Now he's going to explain it, see. The outside is the body. You got five senses. Did you contact your earthly home with that? The inside is the spirit. There's five senses there, love and conscience and so forth. You contact. But the inside of that is the real soul. Remember, the rain falls. Is the soul. Remember, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The same rain that'll make a grain of wheat grow makes a cuckleberry grow too. See what it is? At the inside of that seed is a nature. And that nature displays itself. It can stand in the same field right there with the wheat. The wheat and the wheat stand together, rejoice just as much. It's head down. It's starving for a drink. When rain comes, the cuckleberry can shout just as loud as the wheat can, but by their fruits you shall know them. Read the next one, then we'll get on to the message. On Things That Are to Be, which is paragraph 114. Now, there will be false anointed ones in the last days. Not false Jesus. They wouldn't stand for that, but false anointed. They are anointed, yes, sir. But they are antichrist. They are anointed with the Spirit to do the signs and wonders that Christ did, but won't line up with his word. See, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, have I not prophesied and cast out devils in your name? He'll say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never even knew you. I was Pentecostal, Lord. Glory to God, I shouted, spoke with tongues, laid hands on the sick and healed them, cast out devils. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. See what I mean? The church is to try us, as I read or quoted and told you that the prophet said there and gave it to you, and we read it, that he said it would deceive the very elect if it was possible, but said, frankly, get them so tied up they'll have to cut the work short. Now, I think that's right here now. And as that's here, just remember one thing you do. Anointed ones deal with the spiritual realm. Yeah. The inside can be false, but they'll still shout just as much as you'll shout. As a matter of fact, they'll do more because they have no concern of what the Word says. Come on. That's why you had the Shulers, the Robertses, the great men of great faith that's been out there and went forth, but none of them had a message. Where was any of them with a message? But Brother Branham came with signs and wonders, but he brought a message. You agree? All right, then the truth doesn't deal with the anointing. Brother Brown would stand there and preach, and I was thinking about it the other day when he was talking. I was hearing on the tape, and he was standing there, and they come in and told him, said, your mother's dying. Said, we think maybe mom's going. He just said, we'll stop for a moment and have a word of prayer. He didn't say, I'm going to leave you and go out and see mom. He said, we'll have a word of prayer. He stopped and prayed a few moments, went right back to preaching. He said, because this is to the living. He didn't stop and run to mom. He is preaching. Don't you think he loved his mother? But yet, what was most important? To preach the gospel. To bring the message. The anointed ones will deal in the spiritual realm of the five senses. Those that are anointed that are not born again will deal with the senses. And they'll love God. They'll make you ashamed of yourself. The way they live and the way they act and do. Give everything to the poor. But Jesus said you can do every bit of that and be lost. He said you can do all kind of things. Casting out devils, in other words, preachers. And still not have the love of God in your soul. But you said, but Brother Dale, all I've ever been able to depend upon was whether or not I love God. I'm telling you, you need to get it upon the basis of like what I wrote here. The bride will always try to live by the sixth sense, which is by faith. Even though we walk in the five senses, we don't let the five senses control us. The prophet said your senses is fine as long as they're according to the word. But if we shout, scream, whatever we do, it doesn't matter, we give our body to be... There's these nuns that goes into a nunnery that forfeits their whole life. And all they do is pray. And even though the priests come in and use them for, you know, in the wrong way, they're still in there praying. People that are so sincere until they won't even step on a bug. I read one time about a man who had a lot of money. So what he'd do is, before he'd go to bed at night, he knew there was bugs in the bed. So he'd go hire, he had somebody hired that crawled in the bed and slept in the bed for quite a while. So the bugs would get fed up on him and wouldn't bite him when he crawled in the bed. He said, well, that's silly. A bug? That's how sincere they are. That's the emotional realm they live in. You know what is the shame in like Iraq and Afghanistan? That we have freed those people to where the women can undress themselves. Right? When we went there, they don't do that. Like I read one time about them going to a tribe in Africa and they wouldn't a decayed tooth in the whole thing. I remember this way back, probably 50 years ago when I read. They wouldn't a decayed tooth in the whole tribe. You know what they done? They passed out toothbrushes and toothpaste. You know what they had to do? They had to send in the dentist to fix the teeth because they started decaying. Civilized, we call it. Brother Brown said, go among the tribes and said, you find not one case of venereal disease. See, we only read what we think in the newspaper. Well, you know, AIDS started in Africa. But it didn't start in Africa until after the prophet was there that saw those people. And there's probably still a lot of tribes even there now that still has to have the virginity test before the woman could marry. But yet they're heathen. You know why they're like that? Because it's what they've been taught. You know why the women in Afghanistan wear things over their head and great big robes and this kind of thing? That's what they've been taught. And they're leaning back to that. And they think, well, I'm doing what the Quran says or whatever you'd want to. You know. And Brother Branham says, there he was standing there preaching the gospel in Africa and babies born right at the platform. Women with no clothes on whatsoever. He said, but the Holy Ghost dropped down. He said the women would get up and walk out and with their arms folded across their bodies and come back with garments on. And yet we claim to be Christians and more going off every day. What about it, church? It could it be in some of us too? Yeah. Brother Dale, we don't live by book. No, we don't live by book of rules. See, there is no such thing as a book of rules to a Christian. there's a Bible. Not a book of rules, it's a Bible. A Bible that tells you about Jesus Christ and how that Christ would be living in you. But see, we're so much into that emotional realm, it's like, let's see if I can quote it, and knoweth it not. Brother Branham said that woman out there cutting grass and on the side of the road, you know, and everything with her shorts on and things. He said, yet she was a member of a Methodist church or something. He said, and you can't tell her that it's wrong to do that. He said, because she's anointed by the Spirit of God. We'll get into a few of these more as we go along, where he's talking about how that people would come down to the end of life. You remember the lady that taught Sunday school and all kind of things, but she come down to the end of the life, and she told that preacher and screaming and said, you false, said you taught us wrong. Brother Brown said her real soul come up before her then. See, she had everything suppressed to where she thought she was a Christian. She was even teaching the Sunday school classes and all kind of things, and she thought she was a great Christian until she reached the end of her road. And they kept shooting her with hypo needles until they knocked her out from being saved. Of course, that preacher went, you know, oh, sister, she got a little bit emotional there at the end, you know, and said I was false, but how could I be and love the Lord the way I do? Look what I've given and all I've done. You know, there's people in this world, as I said, that make you and I ashamed of ourselves in lives that they live. But what are they going to be at the end of it all? But what's going to be the judgment of you and I at the end of it all? When all we deal in is the spirit realm, and all we do is the emotional sides. I feel it. I know I'm saved because I cried, I shouted. That's what you're not. Any of you, how many of you women had babies? Well, did the crying baby, did it cry in the womb, or did it cry after it got out of the womb? Yeah. See, that's what you're saying in Christianity. Now be a Christian first. Then shout and scream and glory, hallelujah, have a wonderful time. I enjoy the movement of God and the Spirit of God and the moving and the singing and the songs and the worship. But the reason I enjoy it is because there's something within my heart. Why don't you put that like the children of Israel had it? Now explain this one. All right? Explain this one now, because it's going to sound totally contrary to what I've taught, but listen. When the children of Israel went to battle, what went first? Somebody said it. What went first? The songs, the musicians. And wouldn't that be something? You'd be the enemy up on a big old wall, Danny, and you're looking down at all these people, and they're just singing, glory, hallelujah. He said, glory, hallelujah, I'm fixing to kill you. And the guys down there grinning at it and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just throw down my stuff and go join him. But the musicians went first. And you think I'm against emotionalism? Think on that. The musicians went first. Why? Because the battle was over. It was the Lord's. See? Now put that together right, and what do you got? For a true born-again Israelite, put the music first. He would win the battle. To a true born-again Christian, we believe in emotionalism. We believe in the shoutings and the glory, hallelujah. The cryings, the weepings, and all. But we know what comes first. The Word of God. The Word of God comes first. And it's not just quoting. We'll get to that in the next message. It's not just quoting to Satan, because Satan won't back up. We'll get into it short where it's big faith or what kind of a faith you got, because Satan won't back up just from you quoting Scripture. Satan won't back up from your emotional shoutings. And he won't back up from you. Brother Harris, get him to tell you about the man that took a picture of Brother Branham and said, there's God's prophet. You've got to come out talking to a demon. The demon said, there's a woman now with a man's voice, said, I got him and I'll get you. Some were sitting there. Told the demon, we'll stay here all night and get you out. The demon spoke back to the woman and said, you said that last night and you didn't stay. You ain't going to call no hand of no demon by just playing around with some little shouting or something. You wind up and be like that man was with that, arguing with the Church of Christ. This Pentecostal man was arguing with the Church of Christ, and the Church of Christ had his scripture, so he'd just push a button and he'd just flash up on the wall. And that Pentecostal boy, he'd come in there, I'm going to tire that old Church of Christ man up. Church of Christ man would say, hey, just push a button, the scripture appear on the wall. Brother Harris, I think, was one telling him about it. Somebody did. Scripture just appear on the wall. Brother Woodby, yeah. Well, that man got so tied up, that old Pentecostal guy got so tied up, he didn't even know what to say. You know what he done? He fell over the floor, started shouting, speaking in tongues. What did that solve? But you see, Satan won't back up. Now, I'm going to say this because it's the way down the road. Death won't give away to a quote. Death is not going to give away to a quote. Satan won't give way to you quoting Brother Branham. Satan won't give way to you quoting the scriptures. Satan will give way when that becomes a revelation into you. Then you're speaking it as Christ. Then he has to give way. But see, church, Jesus said they'll come to me in that day and say, have not I cast out devils and done mighty wonderful works? He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Brother Brown said he would not say, and I believe it's in the Church Age book. I know part of it's 347, but I don't know exactly. He said he did not say they didn't have the signs and wonders. He said he agreed that they did, but said that wasn't what it was. That was not what it was. It wasn't the signs and wonders. It's whether or not they're born again. If you're born again, you're born by the Word. I'll say it one more time, we'll get through. Anointed ones deal with the spirit realm of the five senses. Even true Christians, we live in the realm of the five senses. But whereas anointed ones are anointed from the inward part of them also as the unregenerated to go forth and want money or signs and wonders or some kind of popularities or some kind of a something, you know, bigger groups and all kind of thing. Whereas the true born again, even though we live by the five senses, but yet we're motivated by the soul, which is a born again experience. And in doing that, faith can't deny the Word. Because the revelation of the Lord is the revealed Word. Now that's the last statement because that's the foundation for the next message. But do you understand what I'm saying? But Brother Dale, you just don't know what you've done. You've destroyed all kind of things that I've ever, all of my life, I've depended upon this, I've depended upon that. Something that the Word can destroy needs to be destroyed. Now, if me preaching the gospel has destroyed you thinking that, then you didn't have anything to start with. Because I've heard legalistic preachers, I've heard all kind of preachers in this message preach hours of sermon. It didn't destroy a thing that I believed. I walked out believing the same thing I did when I went in. Why? Because it had no effect upon me because I wasn't guilty. If I'm not guilty, a man can stand in my face and say, you lying, deceiving hypocrite. And I'd just grin at him. Now, I wouldn't grin at him if I was guilty. Right? I'd probably get upset at him. But as long as I'm not guilty, don't worry about it. Accuse me of anything you want to, as long as I'm not guilty. Won't bother me at all. But when I am guilty, it'll bother me. Why? Because I'm in my senses. I hope you'll listen. Go read the Anointed Ones and think about what the prophet taught on it and how much it is to show us who we are. Anointed Ones shows me who I am. Because my sole basis is believing one thing, the Word of God. No matter what we think or what we argue about, it's whether or not this says it. I'll talk with you in life and have a good time about a lot of things. But when it comes to this Word, there is no laughing and talking. It's what this Word says. It's just based upon what God said. I hope you understand. Any questions? Anybody got any questions? Because I don't know all the answers, but I believe in a God that knows all of them. Do you understand how that you're anointed upon your spirit just like other people are anointed upon their spirit? Do you understand that? The anointing doesn't go into your soul. The anointing goes upon your spirit realm. It quickens the words you have in your soul. The word that you've taken and held is quickened by the Holy Spirit, whereas anointed ones stay in the realm of the spirit realm, and they don't have the word, true word, planted into their soul, so it can't quicken what's in there. God can't quicken the Trinity. It's not a gospel doctrine. He said, but Brother Dale, I got a revelation of this. What if it's just intellect? See? And I know this is a hard one to say. You know, we need somebody to come along and try us to see whether we know what we're talking about or whether we're right or not. You know that the prophet said the bride always done better under persecution. Brother Tom. Right. Only the quickened word. Right. Mm-hmm. You can walk on what is quickened to you. You can stand on it. I've had to stand, and you've seen me. Most of you have been here long enough to see me have to stand. We're preaching the seals, 70 weeks of Daniel, etc., when I had to stand by myself. Well, if I can stand on it, I believe one day I can walk on it. Let me stand until I get something under my feet to where we can walk off. Anybody else with any comments or anything? Hold on. Amen. 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 Exactly. Only for the Word. Only for the Word, brother. Harris with Aaron with y'all. Prepare the communion. Anybody else? Brother Dean? Excuse me, Brother. Exactly. That's right. Exactly. That's what it's for. It's to prove you. To prove who you are. We are the children of Almighty God. We're word-born children. As I've always said, the prophet would say, in other words, if God give you a sign, 20 people lay them across here and they're all dead, and somebody come along and say, I'm going to raise every one of them to dead to prove I'm right. I'd say, what's your doctrine? What do you mean, what's my doctrine? I'm going to show it why I'm right or not. But no, see, what are you preaching? Because the Bible, or the scripture Brother Dean talking about, where it goes on to say, and they take you to another God. Don't believe them. We're not in the days of those things, Brother Tom. Right. Amen. So that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be on that basis, isn't it? Amen. Anybody else? Let's stand together. While the brothers prepare that, we'll read from Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come.